This is the Pedestrian Podcast.
I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
The official podcast of the UK Seahawkers. Here are your hosts, Stuart Court.
Le'Veon Bell wants to be paid as an offensive weapon, when if you're the Steelers, he's come across as a bit of a weapon himself in different ways.
And Adam Nathan.
It's tricky because Hugh Jackson said nothing for me to shove him in.
We are going to follow you. You lead us, okay? Like I told you before, you lead us to darkness, we will follow you.
Go Hawks.
It is officially now London week, and this is another edition of the Pedestrian Podcast. Myself, Stuart Court, this week is joined by Mr. Adam Nathan. As always, how are we, sir?
I'm good, mate. And yourself?
Not too bad. We are doing this 25 minutes or so after the Seahawks-Rams game wrapped up and finished, with the Rams outlasting the Seahawks 33-31. When we podded early, previewing the game earlier in the week, we expected the 33 part, if not more, in your case. But there's a lot more positive coming out of this than negative, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I said to you when we finished the podcast last week that, I tell you what, let's get the Rams thing out the way on Sunday night after the game, because it's going to be depressing. And we don't want to take any negativity into London week, which is, you know, such a big week for everyone. No one wants to hear a podcast, you know, on Thursday evening of us slating the team because they got humped by 30. And, you know, I'm sat here and I'm feeling pretty pumped up and positive, in spite of the fact that we obviously dropped the game, because I don't really think you can ask an awful lot more of any of the players after what they've given us tonight.
No, not at all. The main factor into that was that the play calling seemed to be a lot more Russell Wilson friendly for most of the game, Adam.
Certainly. I mean, I think when we played against Dallas and Chicago especially, and actually even Arizona, that it was sort of running for the sake of running. Whereas tonight they were running for a purpose. Like every run, it wasn't just like an inside handoff, you know, to get a yard and a half to bash him out. Every run seemed to have a real purpose, and there were assignments there, and you know, Fluker was and Sweezy were barging people out of the way and off the line and doing a heck of a job there. And I don't mind if they're going to play like that, because they played with intensity and assertiveness. And I think the reason we've been annoyed in the past is that it's been passive, whereas today felt active on offense, and it was great to watch.
Yeah, there seemed to be an end, like a target in mind with everything winning game. And also they didn't try and go at a weak spot of the Rams. If anything, they went straight at the strength, didn't they? They ran straight down the throats of the Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers on that defensive front, and they did it for the most part. Obviously, everyone has a few skew-if plays, but for the most part, they won that battle in that trench on that side of the ball, didn't they?
100%. And as you say, it, you know, there's a lot of analytics now that, you know, suggest that running well doesn't set up the pass. And to be honest, I think it's been done to death now. But yeah, rightly or wrongly, and whether it's, you know, the Eagles fell for it or not, every time we had a good passing play, it's because there was a threat of a run and it was play action, or, you know, they were faking a handoff to someone. It worked and it freed up. You know, we don't have a great receiving core right now, and we do struggle to get guys open downfield. Certainly out of empty, we look pretty ineffective. But every time there was a fake handoff or play action, we look really dangerous, and that's how we managed to spring Lockett and Moore. So, you know, if successful running is going to lead to successful play action, then, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah, most definitely. And also another part of that run game, as you say, the threat of Russell Wilson was there, and again, like it was in Arizona last week. If he'd have kept one or two of those read option, read pass option, whatever they called, he probably could have got a good chunk of yards on a couple occasions as well. But with the running backs, it wasn't like it was a few weeks ago against the Cowboys, where it's just Chris Carson, but the load was split and they were both equally effective, with Mike Davis chipping in. Chris Carson had 19 carries for 116 yards at a 6.1 clip, and Mike Davis 12 for 68 and 5.7, and the one rush touchdown on the thing. That's probably the biggest, not the fact that they got yards and got it consistently and did it with purpose, as we said, but the fact that it was not left to Carson or Davis on their lonesome to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Carson's doubled his yards per carry versus the Cowboys game, which I think kind of sums up exactly where we are in terms of why we weren't that happy with that, because it was just 3 yards. It was pound it and pound it and pound it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas today, you know, it was really proactive the way they were running, and they were, you know, Carson was bashing them up, and it was a bit of a thunder and lightning, really. And, you know, Davis can be a guy that runs between the tackles and runs hard, but I thought, I don't know what you thought, but I thought the Carson was really being used to bash him up, and Davis was exploiting the holes that were being left because of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think Carson, I think Scott in our group chat, Nacho, he mentioned that he had a bit of a baby beast to him. I know it's an easy, a bit of a cliche comparison to make, but he did, because he wasn't just running for yards, he was running for to make contact and hurt some people, and he was. There's a second down run in the third quarter where he had no right getting 4, and I think he got 12 or 13. It was a thoroughly, thoroughly impressive game for the running backs. Tyler Lockett with the other carry on 6 yard end around. Rashad Penny, I didn't see him on the field, Adam.
He, I think, had the first kickoff return. And then Tyler Lockett took over that duty, as Pete Carroll said, because they were worried about how Santos was kicking it, that it was a bit awkward, and they wanted to use Lockett's experience. Yeah, I mean, look, that Rashad Penny pick, we've done it to death.
Yes, I really do think that's going to be a Paul Richardson Golden Tate thing, where we have to wait a couple of years and look back in a couple of years, and not just instant reaction, absolutely everything that goes on with these Seahawks. I think we need to give that one some time. It's clearly they're trying to get his legs under him. Remember, he didn't have a preseason, so I think, well, for me anyway, I am going to try and lay off on rubbishing or whatever that pick a bit too much. You think that's fair?
Yeah, 100%. And ultimately, I mean, it's probably not going to be a season that ends in playoffs and glory. Yeah. So I guess the frustration is that, you know, not that we could have picked him because he was, you know, a pick before us, but someone like Derwin James, you look at how brilliant he's been for the Chargers and how he's an instant playmaker. You know, there's always a little bit of a recency bias that you'd love your first round pick to be step in and be great for you right now. But as you say, look, if in 2 or 3 years time, he does prove out to be good, you're not going to be worried particularly where he was picked. No. But in a team that does have a few areas of weakness right now, it's just a shame that we don't have a first round pick contributing like so many other teams in the league do right now.
Yeah, that's fair. The quarterback though, Russell Wilson, had a quiet day in the yardage, but obviously did chuck around those 3 touchdowns, 2 to David Moore, who had a breakout game, and Tyler Lockett again found the end zone this season. Russell Wilson finished 13 for 21, 198 yards, 9.4 clip, and 3 touchdowns, and was sacked twice. He had almost a 50-point better QB rating than Jared Goff did on the opposite side, but it's like last week, really, in the desert, where the stat sheet doesn't wow for Wilson, but he did deliver when the time when he had to, didn't he? Obviously, most prominently with those 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I would give him more opportunities to be the main man. I would love to see the ball put in his hands more often. And as you say, I mean, so many times running out of shotgun, there was the opportunity for him to keep it and, you know, break outside, especially to the right. I think more when Davis was running for some reason than Carson, but every time Davis seemed to be running out of shotgun, the keeper looked on every single time. But the plays he was making on play action were just brilliant. I mean, the touchdowns, both touchdowns to David Moore were just vintage Wilson.
Yeah.
He didn't look great when he was out of empty, but I think that's probably more that we probably lack a little bit of quality in the receiving quarter, you know, just beat their guys 1v1 in empty, and they need that extra second or two to get downfield that play action can give you. But I thought Wilson was phenomenal this evening, probably one of his best and most complete performances for certainly since the Philadelphia game last year, but even going back then, probably since Houston last year, probably in his top 3 or 4 performances of the last few years.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. I mean, if you if you got me to guess what Wilson's stat line read like, I'd have put 50, 60 more yards on the yardage, but is what is. On the receiving end, as we said, Tyler Lockett did come away with another touchdown on this season. He finished with almost half of the passing yards for Wilson. Did go to Lockett. He ended with 3 catches for 98. Nick Vannett had 3 catches for 43. David Moore had 3 catches for 38 and 2 touchdowns. Carson, Mike Davis, and Doug Baldwin were the other ones. Doug Baldwin only having 1 catch for 1 yard. Doug Baldwin is basically just out there to take the attention away from Tyler Lockett. And Tyler Lockett, when we probably were a bit critical of him last year and through the offseason, and obviously when he got paid just before the season started. But in the absence of Doug Baldwin, he is really stepping up, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he torched Marcus Peters, who I think, to be fair to him, probably isn't healthy yet. He just doesn't look anything like the star that Kansas had last year and the year before that. So I think probably not that healthy, and didn't get the safety help like that I think he was expecting, certainly on Lockett's long touchdown. But Lockett was great today. He's becoming much more of an impact player versus just, the long touchdown or the one long play a game. And I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he's really, really stepping up, and it's encouraging again as we move forward, not just for the rest of the season, mostly moving forward the next few years while he's under contract. But as we said earlier, David Moore's probably the biggest breakout from this game. 3 catches, 38, as I said, those 2 touchdowns. The second one, he seems to have been taught up and learnt the scramble drill in Seattle quite well. Yet again, it was another touchdown on number 22, Marcus Peters, as well. But we said last week in the preview to this game that Moore's going to put pressure on Brandon Marshall's job security. That has just escalated, exponentially in it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that Brandon Marshall will keep his job on the team because there's no one else to take it off the... I don't know. Is there anyone on the practice squad that was...
Keenan Reynolds is there.
He was inactive tonight, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who's on the... I don't know who is on the practice squad, my receiver, but Keenan Reynolds would be a risk, but for a team that carried Tanner Macklemore for 2 years, it's not completely out of their wheelhouse. But maybe that's a decision they make after London, with obviously the bye week after that, and they've got, 2 weeks until they go on the road. So maybe that would be, maybe that could in some way save Brandon Marshall's job for a couple of weeks and give him a trip to London.
Yeah, I mean, I think playing against the Rams is probably different to anyone else we have to play this year, because the speed, it's worth pointing out, they are an incredible offense. I've never seen anything like it. And the speed at which they score, it's almost like the whole game against them has to be played in fast forward. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel that I want to see how the team that we saw today can play against a normal, in inverted commas, team in the Raiders in London, and sort of play a more normal game of NFL football, because it almost wasn't like a real game today. It was so frantic. I mean, there was so many long plays and points and first downs. It would just constantly seem like each team was just marching up and down the field on each other. So I think, yeah, they'll have to see what they have in London and then maybe evaluate it after that.
So defensively, though, despite 400 giving up 468 yards and obviously the 33 points, this was another pretty good defensive output, bar one major thing, really, wasn't it? And that's getting to the quarterback. But on the whole, as you say, it's an offense which I think I said to you earlier tonight in the group chat, that this McVay gets you, once he gets you off balance, he keeps you off balance, and there's no coming back from it. And we saw that so many times during this game with all the double motions and all the quick passes and all the, just the route running from Kupp, especially in the first half. Despite what the box score may say and what the eye test tells a different story.
The way in which that he schemes guys open is amazing. I mean, I'll never be the hugest Jared Goff fan, and obviously he is pretty accurate and whatever, but I kind of feel that if you've got a competent quarterback, the way that people like Woods and Kupp get open and the regularity which they do it, it's unbelievable. And I can imagine that it'll be interesting to see when Goff comes up for repaying, presuming McVay is still there, whether he wants to go along with it, or you know, wants to keep playmakers all over the place and just get the guy who's going to be competent under center. But I mean, they scored 33 points. They had an interception on the goal line. We stuffed them on the goal line, and I think they played themselves out of field goal range at some point. I think all you have to accept they're going to score 30 odd points against you. They've done it every game so far this season.
Yeah.
I think the trick is you have to keep it to 30 and not let it get to 50, because you know, I got laughed at by you and on, you know, on Facebook. I was obviously being a bit tongue in cheek, but I thought they might score 50. And really, if you look at it, if you look at the drive sheet, they could easily have scored 50, but we managed to force them into two or three mistakes that kept 50 down to 30. I think that's the only way you can play against them. And to that end, defensively, you know, we know we haven't got much of a pass rush. I don't think we could have done an awful lot more to make it harder for them.
No, and also a big thing for that is if you just go and scroll down a little bit and look at Todd Gurley, 22 carries for 77 yards, 3.5 yards a carry. Yes, he did get the 3 touchdowns, but 77 yards is Todd Gurley's lowest of the season when he plays in all 4 quarters, which he didn't do when he got 42 yards against the Cardinals.
Their offensive line got those 3 touchdowns. You know, you or I could have run one of those in. You reckon?
Yeah, and I'm not certain. I can't really. Were they all north or south? I've got like a toss in my memory, but I might just be making that up for the girl. I might be thinking of something else. But he is, for me, the best running back in the league. And it's not really that close, I don't think. I know Ezekiel Elliott's about to kick off in Dallas. But, I mean, to do that to Todd Gurley is just kind of points to that for anyone who may criticise the defence in the coming hours. In the coming hours, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, look, we missed tackles. Tedrick Thompson looked like a guy in his first start. We had one linebacker who you'd ever heard of really before the season, and then you had someone like Barkevious Mingo who had a fantastic performance alongside Bobby Wagner. I thought he was exceptional.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not a lot of names there, and they all played their absolute hearts out. And
yeah.
I don't know, like, I'm coming away from this. We lost, but I can't really say a bad word about them, because everyone that you speak to really thought that the 7.5 points that Rams have been given by Vegas was generous to the Seahawks, to be honest, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that's right. Also, as I think with Mingo, I think you've tweeted that during the game, he's actually proven that the loss of the comp pick, which put it alongside Jimmy Graham, is possibly worth it at this point, with especially, obviously that's been heightened with the injury to KJ Wright, but as you said, he was... There's a couple of back-to-back plays in the second half where he was making plays which KJ Wright hasn't made for a few years.
Yeah, he looked quicker. Obviously, KJ is the guy that, you know, is an organizer, and he likes to play with the ball in front of him. But he's always lacked a little bit of that speed. You know, there's been a common thread that, you know, KJ Wright on tight ends is always the kind of thing that doesn't end too well for us. But Mingo looked incredibly athletic today. Yeah. I mean, there was a shot of him just standing there, and he, you know, the guy's like, he's an Adonis.
Yeah.
he's in incredible shape, and I thought he played really well. I'm feeling really positive after what I saw. And actually, I've been so down for such a long time, like almost a year on this team, because it just felt inevitably like it was going just only one way fast. And to see that, like, I really needed that before London, just to sort of get me massively back on it for what's going to be just a great week.
Yeah, I think it might have been Nathan Oates tweeted that this game suggests, while they're not going to probably do much, it's not going to be the complete car wreck or write-off that we probably expected coming out of Chicago, is it? This season.
Yeah, I mean, even after last week, I thought 5-11. I thought we'd lose all 8 games to the AFC West and NFC North.
Yeah.
And then I thought we'd beat San Fran twice and Arizona twice, and then, you know, sort of maybe get a game somewhere against. Well, we've already beaten Dallas, so that would make 5 wins. But now, you know, you look at it and you think, you know, we can compete now. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be more than 8 wins. But as I say, if you consider anything 6 or below is a real disaster.
Yeah.
That's got me quite positive that it's not going to be at that level, which is cool, because the first time for about 2 months I've thought that.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's a lot Yeah, I feel a lot better, as you say, heading into the next couple of weeks, a couple of games, especially with the Lions team, the most Jekyll and Hyde team in all of the league, up after the bye. Obviously, you mentioned Tedric Thompson. He made what could have been, it could have been a massive play if they only converted the fourth down late on, but there's a lot of talk about his hit on Brandon Cooks, which knocked Brandon Cooks out of the game. What's your take on it? I personally don't really see it being much of a dirty hit. Probably should have been a flag, but I don't. A lot of people are calling it a dirty hit, and I don't really. Well, no, I don't agree with that at all. What was your take on that play from Tedric?
I mean, Cook lowers his head into the play as well,
which was also an emphasis in the off season.
Yeah, and I kind of feel that people are always very quick to emphasize what's a dirty play and what's not when they forget this is happening at a zillion miles an hour and not in the slow motion that we're seeing all the replays. I just think Thompson wanted to hit hard and impose himself on it. You know, he got up and he was flexing a little bit and obviously proud of the hit he made, and maybe in hindsight he would have gone a bit lower and tried to wrap up a little bit more, but I don't think it was a dirty hit per se. I think that's it's an overused term when people don't like a tackle. It's a little bit harder than maybe necessary.
Yeah, but again, he's someone who could come out with who's got the game, got the snaps under his belt, and could be a positive thing moving forward. Another one on the defensive side, we mentioned Mingo, we mentioned Thompson, is Frank Clark, who only come out of the game with two tackles, but boy, was he busy and was he active and was he causing havoc. I mean, the sack after he just destroyed Andrew Whitworth pretty early on was just the start of it for Frank Clark, who apparently, according to Pete Carroll, was in hospital twice this week after he ate a dodgy turkey burger, he's told Bob Condotta.
I absolutely did not think he had this level of disruption in him last season. I thought he was the kind of guy that when Bennett and Averill take up double teams, he's the guy that capitalizes. But he's pretty much the only pass rusher we've got, and he is dominating offensive linemen at times.
Yep.
You know, he made Whitworth look stupid at one point, which is no mean feat. I mean, he's been outstanding all season, and I had real trepidation about paying him versus someone like Sheldon Richardson, which is what we said to Rob Staten earlier in the season. We were discussing that, but he's just looked great.
Yeah, he really has. And as I tweeted earlier, I would not be surprised if he gets paid before the team chat lands in Heathrow on Wednesday afternoon. Because there's a lot of talk about Earl deserving it. I think Frank Clark is right behind him, and if Tyler Lockett gets paid for what he got paid for what he did for his first 2 years, Frank Clark last two years has been if not neck and neck with Tyler Lockett, he's been better than Tyler Lockett. So it could be interesting if they let it rumble on into the off season when the other 31 teams can have at him. One to praise on the inside of the ball, Adam, offense.
I mean, let's go David Moore, because he scored two touchdowns on his first real game.
Yeah, I think I'll go Chris Carson, because I think he definitely, like Marshawn Lynch, I think he definitely set the tone for the offensive output tonight. Defensively, one to praise.
Mingo, I thought he was really outstanding.
Yeah, I think I will go with, and I'll probably have to agree, I think Mingo, just for those two plays, I mean, he's a third and eight, I think, and he tackled Jerrod Everett, but it made it fourth and three or fourth and four, which is properly impressive play. For the Rams, though, they now have both hands on the steering wheel and a pretty tight grip on what is the 2018 NFC West. If it wasn't tight before, it definitely is now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought a couple of weeks ago that, well, I think I said to my mate on Friday night that I have a worrying feeling that the NFC West could see the biggest gap ever between first and second place in a division, because they seem fairly unstoppable. And sometimes you just take your hat off to a team and just say they're really good, and that's like what more can you say about it?
Yeah, and after his 90 odd yards receiving today, Robert Woods in his last two games in Seattle, the one 2 years ago, which we were at, Adam, in the Bills Monday night game, he now has 15 catches for 254 yards in his last two games in CenturyLink Field, which is no mean feat when you think of a defensive face, especially 2 years ago. But yeah, as we say, up next is London. We will be doing a podcast, well, might come out Thursday night, probably more likely to be early Friday morning for those making the trip down on Friday and Saturday. All hell is about to break loose in our capital city and your hometown, Adam, isn't it?
It is going to be fantastic. There's loads of people coming down and coming over, and it's just going to be brilliant to see so many people all in the same place supporting our great team.
Yeah, so obviously, and I don't think your piece has gone up on Seahawks.com. If it has, they've hid it in like a subsite or something. But Adam's piece, Adam's contribution to the Seahawks website and to all their travel guide and all the London stuff should still be going up in the next couple of days. We will try and find out who we're going to have on the podcast and post that on all the usual means as the Texans miss a field goal. Also, one thing we didn't mention last week, and I think we saw the Rams with the green ribbons on their hoodies on the sideline today. All UK Seahawkers, and obviously every Seahawk fan, Seattle sports fan really, in the world, will send in their best wishes to the Seahawks and Portland basketball team. Majority owner Paul Allen, who announced last week that his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which he fought 8 or 9 years ago, has returned. Not too sure what that means. We don't really know what his status is with travel and everything, but all best wishes go to him and his family, don't it? Because that's sad news on Mr. Allen.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know enough about the illness to sort of make wild comments on a podcast when I just don't have the knowledge. But obviously, with anyone suffering with an illness, wish him all the best, and hopefully he can make a full recovery as quickly as possible.
Yeah, but before we go, any other NFL stuff catch your eye today? The Browns won a field goal, won a game in overtime. It's like the third overtime game they had already, and it's not even mid-October.
Yeah, I mean, they play really tough, and Baker Mayfield looked okay, a bit more cautious with the ball, which is probably the right thing to do. I mean, the Ravens are a pretty good team, and for the Browns to be sat at 2-2-1 is, you know, a heck of an effort given where they were. I think it's their first win on a Sunday since 2016. No, 15.
Yeah.
2015, because they beat the Chargers on a Saturday night on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just crazy. Crazy stuff.
But yeah, they still need to get Hugh Jackson far away from that team, though, I do believe. But yeah, as though we will be back later in the week. This has been our first Instant Reaction podcast. If you want to get in touch, you can on your usual methods. UK Seahawkers on Instagram, Seahawkers UK on Twitter. The Pedestrian podcast is on Podbean, iTunes, and now it is on Spotify. But until later in the week, for anyone making the trip over from America, and have a safe flight, and we will see you in London over the weekend. For anyone else making the trip from these shores or from an island or anywhere in mainland Europe, also have a safe flight, and we will see you all there, because buckle up, ladies and gents, this is going to be quite a week. This has been the Pedestrian Podcast.
Go Hawks.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is putting the dust. London calling.